Chapter 5. Owen. My gelding's hooves thud softly on the forest floor as the Grand Lodge fades in the distance behind me. Ahead, the solemn back of Rollo's leads the way, his gold-accented red uniform standing out in the dusky woods. Ordinarily, such clothing would make me uncomfortable, since it obviously prevents our group from blending in. But today I find myself distracted, my thoughts on other things as we make our way toward the southern heartlands and the city of mages beyond. Talon rides beside me, his messy dark hair ruffled slightly by a chill breeze. His expression is thoughtful as he grasps the reins of his bay roan. Three other rangers, stoic, green-cloaked men from the lodge, ride behind us in silence. Tamara had commanded them to accompany us on our journey as protection, though I believe that they are also with us to act as spies for the new Master Warden. Thinking of her, I'm grateful that she was chosen to lead the rangers in the wake of Thorn's betrayal and death. She is strong, capable, and a natural-born leader, an excellent choice to don the mantle of Master Warden. As we journey on into the late afternoon, our group remains mostly silent. The dreary, cloud-covered sky shrouds the forest in a chilly gloom, rain falling off and on, while memories of the Nightingale attack still weigh heavily on our minds. The prospect of facing more mind-slaves or demons is enough to keep conversation subdued. The elevation of the forest gradually gets higher as we leave the veil sheltering the lodge, entering the heart of the Ashwood. Thick, gnarled trees surround us, and little animals skitter through the branches, causing the orange leaves to rustle. "I hope that Elias can track me down whenever he finishes his mission." My thoughts go to my master as I travel down the road back to Tarsus. I keep getting sent back and forth, never staying in one place for long. Though now that I think about it, if anyone could find me in this kingdom, it's him. Elias seems to have a sixth sense for finding all sorts of illusory things. The last few weeks have been complicated without him. Bereft of his guidance, I've found it difficult to advance in any of my ranger-related skills. The freedom that I'm experiencing without a master is unnerving, although it has been oddly liberating as well. Unfortunately, with that freedom comes a lack of discipline. It's only a matter of time before I start pulling into bad habits, diminishing a mindset of growth as I slip into complacency. I wonder if Zara is having any of these same problems. Since being raised to full mage, Zara has probably grown by leaps and bounds. She always came off as so naturally driven. Even without a master, she has likely already learned a large number of new spells and become one of the greatest mages the Conclave has ever seen. It's entirely possible, I think with a grimace, that she has already forgotten about me. How can I compete with the refined and accomplished mages of Tarsus?
"You look like you ate something that isn't sitting right," Talon observes, staring over at me from his horse. "What's on your mind?"
Shaking my head to clear away my thoughts, I turn to reply. "It's just, I didn't think I'd be returning to Tarsus so quickly. That's where I was before I came to the lodge." Talon nods his head knowingly.
"I've seen that look before," he says, lips curling into a wry smile. "This is about a girl, isn't it?"
"What? A girl? No, that isn't—" "No need to explain, mate," he responds, grinning slyly at me. "Girls can make a man crazy, unable to think clearly, you know. I can see why going back to the city would make you uneasy."
I gave him a flat look.
"That isn't what this is about." "Well, what is it, then?"
I hesitate, racking my brain for an explanation.
"There are some unpleasant memories back in Tarsus. Things that I thought I wouldn't have to deal with again. At least not so quickly."
I look away from him and sigh.
"It's hard to explain."
He's quiet for a moment, the sounds of the forest filling the silence. Then, unexpectedly, he snickers, trying to hold in a full-blown snort.
"She must be really pretty, then, to have you at a loss for words."
The annoyed look I shoot at him causes him to let loose with a laugh loud enough to cause a couple of the rangers behind us to cast up some well-placed glares. Giving my gelding a nudge, I ride ahead of him, leaving him leering at my back as I pull in front. "Obnoxious git," I think to myself, shaking my head in irritation. "He doesn't know what he's talking about. Zara doesn't have me out of sorts. It's a combination of things." Even to myself, it sounds like a hollow argument. I continue the duration of the ride, brooding and staring out at the foliage of the woods. Talon, in some unspoken understanding, leaves me alone. Night falls, and we decide to camp a little way off the main road. Rollo's mostly keeps to himself as he sets up a tent of heavy canvas, embroidered with the king's lion crest. The three rangers accompanying us ensure that neither Talon nor myself are required to stand watch. Huddled around the dying embers of our fire, this allows us to get a full night's sleep. In the morning, we set off early, journeying northwest from the heart of the Ashwood towards civilization. Another uneventful day of travel passes as we make it to the large township of Ashview, the capital of the province. Its thick wooden walls surround a sleepy town of thatch roofs and brick chimneys and grant us access to a comfortable inn with actual beds to sleep on. After our meal, Rollo's approaches me, his haughty expression looking troubled for the first time and his demeanor more subdued than normal.
"A moment of your time, apprentice."
Glancing around, I see that most everyone else is heading down the hall to our rooms. "What do you want?" I ask warily, resting a hand on my father's hatchet. He hesitates at first, looking around the room before taking a step closer to me, his voice pitched low so we're not overheard.
"Living in the palace, one tends to overhear bits of conversation. Some tends to be nothing more than gossip and conjecture, but others... well, let's just say that every rumor is rooted in some kind of truth."
Again, he glances around the common room before continuing.
"From what I've been able to understand, you have been called to speak to the king because you're involved with something at the conclave. Something big. Rumor has it that it may have something to do with the recent disturbances that have been cropping up all over the kingdom."
I narrow my eyes, keeping my voice even. "I'm not sure what you mean."
"Oh, come now,"
Rollo's presses, furrowing his brow in consternation.
"I'm not an idiot. There is something big going on here, something that both the crown and the conclave don't want to get out. All I want to know from you is, are the rumors true?"
I find myself gripping the head of my father's hatchet as I meet the knight's gaze. There is something crafty about him, a political savvy that I can barely comprehend. Every instinct within me screams for me not to trust him.
"What rumors?"
I reply, playing dumb. His frown deepens, the shadows turning his eyes nearly completely black.
"The words that are being whispered at every hearth and tavern in Tarsinium. Demons, the R'hllar, strange disappearances. Are these rumors true, boy? Have they actually returned?"
11 hells, I think. The whole kingdom really is talking about it?
For an instant, my stoic mask slips, revealing a look of concerned shock. It seems that this is all the man needs to confirm his suspicions.
"Interesting," he murmurs, taking a step back from me.
His expression turns to one of careful contemplation.
"Terrifying, but also fascinating. This revelation will no doubt make waves when you testify before the court. The political ramifications of this will be... intriguing."
I stand there at a momentary loss for words. Rollo's straightens, giving me a slight nod of the head.
"Thank you, apprentice, for the information. It's often good to get in front of these sorts of things. They give a man a chance to prepare."
With that, he turns on his heel and strides away, making for his private bedroom at the end of the hall.
"That was odd," I find myself thinking,
waiting for a moment before heading off to mine and Talon's room. What did he mean by preparing? Prepare for what, exactly? Talon is already asleep, snoring softly with one leg hanging over the side of his bed. He drank more ale than any of us in the party combined, and I wouldn't be surprised if he wakes up tomorrow with a pounding headache. Moving quietly, I get ready for bed and snuff out the candles, lying down beneath a scratchy blanket on my lumpy mattress. Despite my unease at my conversation with Rollo's, sleep finds me easily, but as usual, it is rife with terrible nightmares. Upon waking, we eat a hot breakfast and saddle up, setting off almost immediately for the road. The rough, dirt-packed paths of the forest give way to paved highways as we enter the heartlands, the trees disappearing, replaced by miles of rolling fields. In the interest of time and at the urging of Rollo's, we pick up the pace, riding hard through the farm country as we head north toward the capital. As we draw nearer to Tarsis, more thoughts of Zara begin to cloud my mind, bringing with them a strange mix of feelings that leave me feeling muddled and confused. Light, I can't wait to see her again. I'm taken aback by the thought, but allow a faint smile to tug at the corners of my mouth. She was so irritating at times, but somehow she always knew how to make me laugh. I wonder if she's still mad at me or if she's forgotten the whole thing. The two of us couldn't be more different, but we complimented each other rather well in the weeks leading up to Tarsis. She was my first true friend, someone I felt I could share anything with. We parted on bad terms, but now that I'm returning, I find myself hopeful that we might be able to patch things up. Is there any chance we can rekindle the friendship we once had? The hours drag on, the gray clouds eventually dispersing and giving way to the waning light of the sun. It warms the air, warding away the cold wind from the mountains, and makes the fading green of the fields stand out in stark contrast to the beginning autumn hues of the trees. As the sun sets, I can see lights ahead, winking brightly on the horizon like tiny stars that have fallen to Bahalia. However, they pale in comparison to the solid glowing beam rising into the heavens, where it fans out into a gigantic dome high above.
"Whoa! The Arc of Radiance!" Talon mutters in awe, looking ahead and seeing the brilliant light as well. "I've never seen it this close before."
I nod and reply, "Just wait until it's right in front of you." Spurring my horse to a canter, I follow the others toward the glittering city of mages.